Thank God it's in His hands. Amen?
Amen.
And there's been many a times when I'm sure people have, about all of us, have cast us off and said, they ain't even a Christian. They'll go to hell. But He never says that. Amen. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. This morning I preached real, real hard. That's probably the hardest sermon I've ever preached, just to present it myself. And I don't enjoy that. Is this working? No. And I don't enjoy that. I'm not a hard preacher. I first time I ever stood up to preach, I cried most of the time. And I don't know if you was there or not. It was at Eastside Baptist Church on Baptist Men's Day. And I hadn't been saved long, about 6 months, a year, I guess. And they have once a year to have a day that men fill the choir and, you know, all this stuff. And two men will speak, two laymen, they call them. And the preacher asked me, I said, man, I don't know. He said, well, we got this other guy before you. He played guitar. He was a college graduate and all this stuff. He said, he'll go before you. You won't have much time. Won't take long. So that boy got up there and he had 6 pages. He told me, he said, I got 6 pages. So I said, phew. Good. That's good. I'd never stood in front of people and talked in my life, you know. And so he got up there and he went, read about 1 line off page 1 and 2 lines off page 2 and 1 off page 3 and 1 off page 4, 1 off page 6. Page 6, and I'm sitting there, what? And I got most of the time, and I stood up and I preached. I picked a scripture out of 2 Timothy. Notice also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of them own self. Covetous boasters, proud. This is not what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about that, but it said without natural affection. And it struck me all of a sudden. I had never read a commentary. I didn't even know what that was. I said, natural affection. That's the love of a father for a son and a son for a father and a mother for a daughter and a daughter for a mother. That's natural affection. And I started crying. And I said, people are without natural affection. They don't even love their own children. They don't love their own grandchildren. They don't love their father. They don't love their mother. And then it hit me. I was one of those people before he saved me. And I just started bumbling and crying and going on. And the old devil said, you done messed up now, boy. You done messed up now. This crying stuff. You're a man. And I turned around and the men had filled the choir singing. Every one of them was crying. And the Holy Spirit said, you all right, keep going. And I don't know how long I preach, but that's the kind of preaching I like to do. This hard stuff is hard for me. But Acts chapter 7, I want to talk to you tonight on the other side of that, that sometimes when heaven opens, sometimes, talked about hell this morning, talked about going to hell, but you know, sometimes in the Bible there are examples of when heaven opens, that we get a little glimpse or a little something from heaven. And I've experienced those in my life since I've been saved, and I'm sure if you've been saved very long, you have too, when heaven opens. So we start off in Acts chapter 7. I'm going to give you a little review before I start with verse 51. In Acts chapter 6, the deacons, the church is growing. People are getting saved. Daily they're being saved. Daily they're being baptized. And the Bible says the Lord added daily to the church. Sisters should be saved. And every day the church is booming. Thousands of people. And the apostles said, Lord, we got to have some help. We can't minister all these people. So God told them, said, pick out some deacons, some men servants, that they'll serve people. So you can be about the preaching and the studying and teaching. These men will wait on tables. These men will help the widows. These men will do this and all that. And so in Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7, the deacons are picked and they're ordained. And Stephen's one of them. A man named Stephen, young man named Stephen. He was one of the first deacons. And his testimony was this, if you'll read verses 1 through 7 in chapter 6, his testimony was this, he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Ain't that a testimony? Every deacon ought to be full of faith in the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 8 through 15, he stood to preach, and because of what he said, he was questioned by the Jewish leaders about what he was preaching about Jesus. So then in Acts chapter 7, he preached a sermon not just about Jesus, but the whole Jewish history. He preached the whole history of the Jewish people and how Jesus had come through that lineage and how that was the faith of Jesus Christ. He preached that whole message. And that message of the history of Israel and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and on and on and on and Moses and all this. And he talked about the faith of God and the faith of the salvation. And because of that, when he came to Jesus Christ and talked about Jesus being the fulfillment of all of that, they stoned him. Bible says they gnashed on him with their teeth. Doesn't mean they literally bit on him, but they gnashed on him. Who's he think he is? And they killed him. But right before being killed, let's start with verse 51. He said this. He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." Boy, that's hard preaching. "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one." Capital J, capital O, Jesus the just one. "Of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, the just one." That's preaching. "Who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it." Angels have been involved in what God's brought to you, and you won't even receive that. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly," look at this, "into heaven," not the sky, "into heaven, and saw the glory of God. Praise God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Yes. "And he said, behold, I see the heavens," there's my word, "opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Yes. "Then they cried out with loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. And this is what he said when he was calling on God: Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Amen. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Yes. He didn't die. He sleepeth. Amen. Just like Lazarus. He ain't dead. He sleepeth. Amen. I worked in a place called Piedmont Distribution Centers in Charlotte, down below where the old General Tire used to be there for years and years and years. I hated it. First year wasn't bad, but I worked there 6 years and I hated it. And they hated me. I didn't hate them. I hated it. It had interrupted my Bible education at Bible Institute. I finally had to quit school to take care of my family, and I worked there, and they didn't really want me there. The only reason they hired me was one of the owners of the company liked me because I wasn't ashamed of Christ. But everybody else in there, including his partner, disliked me because I wasn't ashamed of the gospel. But there was a man worked there. His last name was Nasir. I couldn't pronounce his first name. He was Pakistani. I don't know if you ever met any Pakistanis, and there's some that follow me on Facebook, but he's the only one I ever met, and he was mean as the devil. And he said he was a Muslim, but he had a filthy mouth. He had a vile, filthy mind. He was a sexist. He hated Christians. He hated Christianity. And he hated our president. And he hated our government. And he wasn't ashamed to say that. All the time, if you talk to him, that's what he did. He talked about that. And I told him one day, I said, why do you hate our country? He said, oh, I don't hate you. I hate your government. I said, whenever you come over here, did they not tell you that we are a government of the people and by the people? Yeah, but your president, I said, we voted him in. And I said, even the ones that didn't are going to honor him. That's before we got this new crowd of Democrats. He said, well, I hate him. And I believe your government needs to be destroyed. I said, you need to go home. Amen. You need to go home. I was a young man. I was in my 20s. He was a lot older than me. But I told him, I said, you need to go home. And every once in a while, he tried to win my confidence. And he talked to me privately. And he came to me. Now, when we was in the break room, he was foul-mouthed and obscene, just like all the other lost sinners, though he was religious. But just me and him working together sometimes, you know, our job would throw us together. And he wasn't like that. And at the back of the warehouse one day he told me this. He said, listen, Islam provides for Christianity. We love Christians. I was just 20-something years old. This is before 9/11. This is before all that stuff. He said, matter of fact, I believe just like you do. I said, I don't think so. Now you gotta remember, I'm young. I'm young in the faith, young man and everything. And I said, I don't think so. He said, yeah, oh yeah, we believe the Bible. We believe the parts where it talks about Moses and Abraham and Isaac. And we believe some of it's been twisted, but we believe the Bible. We believe in Moses. We believe in Abraham. That's our ancestry. We believe in them. We believe in the apostles and the prophets. We believe Jesus Christ. And I just couldn't take it no more. I said, wait a minute. You don't believe like we do, or you'd be a Christian.
Amen.
He said, what's the difference? I said, number one, the Bible is the Word of God. There's not a mistake or correction in it. It is the infallible Word of God. And I could tell he was looking at me, you know, like, I said, number two, Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died in my place and in the place of all sinners, and rose from the dead the third day according to the scriptures. And he goes, no, 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 no. And he ran down the aisle doing that right there. No, no, no. He wouldn't hear it. That's exactly the picture you got right here. Religious people rejecting the truth. But, thank God, even though they were stoning Stephen for telling the truth, God opened heaven and let him get a little glimpse of the other side, and that made dying a whole lot easier. Amen? The reason dying is so hard is because we don't see what's on the other side except by faith through this book. Every once in a while, God will open heaven and let mankind get a glimpse of glory. And in this case, he's the only one, Stephen was the only one, that God allowed to see Jesus Christ himself standing for him on the right hand of the Father. He wasn't seated. Now, he's naturally seated. He's seated on the right hand of the Father right now. But he stood up for Stephen. And then Stephen did not complain about dying. Matter of fact, he prayed for his killers. Now, there's other times in the Bible when God opened heaven. I got to think about it, and I'm going to go fast because I held you too long this morning. But in Genesis chapter 7, all of you know the story. You don't have to turn there. Noah's life. In Noah's life, he told Noah to build an ark, that he was tired of the wickedness on earth. He was going to destroy mankind and the earth. And the fountains of the deep were open. You remember that? And then in chapter 7, verse 11, it says, and the great deep was broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. God opened the windows of heaven on earth that day. and he did it in judgment. Sometimes the windows of heaven are open in judgment. It's not always a good thing. And that day, Noah was the only man on planet Earth that communicated with God. And they tell me, Bible scholars a lot smarter than me, said the earth was probably populated as much then as it is now. There were probably about 6 billion people or something like that. Because you gotta remember, the earth was already old when he did that. You know, you go from creation to the flood, it was about 2,000 years. Now, I'm not talking about billions. Somebody sold you a lie if they told you that. And now we're going to our 7,000th year, which is a year of rest. That's why we think Jesus is coming soon. But that day in judgment, God opened heaven. When Jesus was on the cross, God opened heaven. When Jesus was baptized, God opened heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Let me tell you something. Sometimes God will open heaven and give us a little glimpse, but it's not always easy. Sometimes it's a judgment. Sometimes it's a crucifixion. Sometimes it's a stoning. I don't know where Christians get this idea that we're all supposed to be hip and cool and skate our way to heaven.
Right.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. They don't read the Bible and see that. The first time God revealed himself to man was when he opened heaven in judgment of the great flood. Then, Malachi 3:10, you don't have to turn there, you already know it. He said, "Bring your tithes, your offerings into the storehouse." And he said this, "And see, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room to receive." Sometimes the heavens are open. We get a little glimpse of glory in blessings. You know, I don't understand people that don't want the power and the presence or manifestation of God in their life. I don't understand that. How can you go to church every Sunday and go through the motions, maybe even read your Bible, go through the motions, maybe even pray and go through the motions, but you don't want to have a great experience with God. You don't want the heavens to open and show you something, reveal you something, or him in some way manifest himself to you. But he said, if you'll be faithful, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't receive. Now don't get, hey, don't turn me off. This ain't Jim Baker selling survival kits, okay? Amen. He used to say you didn't need survival kits. He sold condos. Now that he can't sell condos anymore, he's selling survival kits. Said you're going to have to hide out in the cave during tribulation. But let me tell you something. If we honor God with our substance, God will honor our substance. David said, "I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging." Amen. Amen?
Right.
Old Bully Falkenberry, my first pastor, he used to say this, "I've never seen a saved, tithing, living right Baptist that needed for anything." You might want some things, but occasionally God will even open up the windows of heaven. If you're faithful with your substance, sometimes he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't even receive, he said.
Yes.
Your cup will runneth over. You'll be drinking out of your saucer. That's what he's saying this morning. Did y'all get all that? Most of us are old enough, we remember when the old people used to pour their hot coffee in the saucer and sip it out because it's too hot to drink. Y'all remember that? That's what he was talking about, him and Jimmy Dean. Amen. If you don't remember Jimmy Dean, you probably need to get saved. Amen. That's like not knowing who George Washington was. Amen. But God opens the windows of heaven and he pours out judgment. God opens the windows of heaven and he pours out blessings. And then Luke 3, you don't have to turn there, you know it. Luke 3:21 says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open." And the Holy Ghost came down in the form of a dove. You remember that? But that day, the heavens were opened. The heavens were open for the Holy Ghost to speak and to do something. And boy, don't we need the heavens open now for the Holy Ghost to do something.
Yes.
Man, that word's foreign to most Christians now, Holy Ghost.
Right.
They think we're some kind of weirdo, lunatic, fringe, Pentecostal when we say Holy Ghost. They say, you mean Holy Spirit? I said, yeah, Holy Ghost. They said, you mean the Spirit? I said, yeah, the Holy Ghost. He's holy, amen? And let me tell you something. Sometimes God opened heaven. There's been accounts in the history of America when God's opened up heaven and poured out His Spirit on our country and revived our land and swept through our land like a mighty rushing wind and reformed our government and reformed our churches and got them back on track, and He can do it again. And that's what we'll be praying for now, that God open up heaven and pour out His Holy Ghost on our land again. Our churches, all they need is a little shot of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. That's all it is. You don't need to pay. Boy, these churches now, these preachers will come. When I'm dead, they'll come to you. Well, actually, you'll be gone before I will, because I'm preaching all your funerals. I already got some of them playing. But listen, when I'm gone, some slick preacher will come by, you know, and he'll want you to hire him to be their, senior pastor. You hear that a lot now, don't you? Senior pastor. That means he's the big dog. And he gets the highest pay. And he gets the most benefits. And he says, now I can only come if you let me bring my staff with me. And he don't mean like Moses had or David had. It means a bunch of other hirelings. And they'll come into this church and we're going to revitalize your church. Not revive, revitalize. And we're going to revamp it. We're going to update it. And we've got this musician over here and he knows everything about music. He's going to teach you about music and how to really worship God. Come by y'all, my Lord. Come by. See it on the screen over here. Come by y'all. And then he's going to bring his own musicians. And they're very well trained in all aspects of musical talent and ability. And they're going to fine tune our music. They'll never mention the Holy Ghost. Never. I was looking for it. Ain't in that songbook, our old songbook. The heavens are open. The windows of heaven are open tonight. And when y'all look that song up, windows of heaven is in that old book. Not everybody. We got the song there. She's a highly paid professional. She'll find it. But we used to sing that the windows of heaven are open tonight. Well, we need that again. We need the windows of heaven to fall, to open, and the Holy Spirit of God just fall.
Amen.
Some of us are old enough where we remember those old-fashioned meetings where you'd be sitting there and it might not have been that great of a sermon, might not have been that great of a song, but all of a sudden God came in.
Amen.
And heaven opened and the power and the presence of God just came. You could feel it. It was thick like a smoke and you could feel His power and His presence and you started to weep and to cry or maybe even laugh. And you couldn't do anything but praise God. That's all you could do. And the preacher had to close his Bible and sit down while God moved over the congregation and people started coming to the altar weeping and crying and then another one would come, then another one would come and one would get up over here and go over there and grab one and hug them and drag them down the altar with them. One get up over here and grab one over there and one over here and one over there. And mamas would go to daughters and fathers to sons and the altar would be so covered you couldn't even get to the altar anymore. They'd be all up down the aisle. Because the windows of heaven had opened and the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost had fallen on that place.
Yes.
You know, we talk about those old preachers. If some young people heard them, they'd say, man, they're illiterate. They're hillbillies. Oh, Maze Jackson. Y'all remember Maze Jackson? The truck driver special. He could say more in 5 minutes on the radio than these fancy preachers can say in an hour and a half. Amen. Old Lester Roloff.
Yeah.
Lester Roy, he just opened the Bible. He never had an outline. He just opened the Bible and read and holler. And God come down. Amen.
Yes.
Percy. Brother Percy. What's Percy's last name? Help me. Boy, y'all getting old as I am. You've got, come on, Billy. The camp meeting. Percy.
Percy Ray.
Percy Ray. That was it. Percy Ray, get up. He didn't have an outline. He growled his whole sermon. He just, he don't like this right here. And he said, you need to get saved. You're going to die and go to hell. You're going to burn. You're going to burn. The church is full. And man, he just get to hollering and screaming. And the Spirit of God come in and fall. And people just covered off. Last sermon I heard him preach was, you need to clean your well out. Talking about your heart. He said, the reason the Holy Spirit can't give you much in your well is because you got it clogged up with trash. TV, radio, magazines, all this stuff. He just go on, you need to clean out your well, you know. And if the modern day people heard that, they'd just laugh at him. He preached on hell. You remember that? He preached on hell. He screamed to the top of his lungs. And he'd say, if you go out these doors tonight and you walk out these doors, you're going to die and go to hell. If you go to hell, you have to step over the Word of God. I'm going to lay it right here in the doorway. And you have to step on it and trample the Word of God to get to hell. You have to do it on purpose. And you're going to have to trample the blood of Jesus Christ to go to hell. You're going to have to trample the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God just come through that place and people get saved. People get saved. We need for the windows of heaven to open. We've had a little touch here lately. A little touch. Some of y'all young people, you think that's the real big thing. But let me tell you something. We've just had a touch here lately. I'm praying that the windows of heaven open, the Holy Ghost of God fall in this place till the preacher can't preach and the singer can't sing and everybody just crawl. I've seen people crawl down the aisle crying, say, oh God, oh God, oh God, just crying and screaming, and it scared a lot of Baptists to death. But the windows of heaven were opened. And then, in Revelation chapter 4, you know it, you don't even have to look at it. Verse 1 says, after this I looked, behold, a door was open in heaven. Door was open. And you know what he said after that door was open? He said, come up hither. And the doors of heaven were open. The windows of heaven were open. And the trumpet sounded, dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he's going to open up the windows, the doors of heaven. And he's going to say, come up hither! And we're going to be gone. You say, preacher, I've never experienced anything about that. In chapter 19, verse 11, he said, I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse. And he that rode on that horse was called Faithful and True.
Amen.
And he come, listen, he come to judge and to make war, he said. The windows of heaven are going to open and Jesus Christ is going to make it right. You go ahead and after the doors are going, the windows are going to open one day, he's coming. You get your little spray paint. That ain't going to do you no good on him. You paint whatever you want on the walls. You're going to melt with a fervent heat.
Yes.
Go ahead, Black Lives Matter. You don't care that everybody else's life matters. You're just a bunch of communists. Go ahead. But he's coming one day, and he's coming to judge and to make war. And you can quit telling us that we ought not judge because he's already judged you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Go ahead, socialists. Go ahead, communists. Go ahead, Chinese paid crooked politician. You go ahead and do whatever you want to, but he's coming back on a white horse, and this time he ain't coming to be crucified. He's coming to destroy and to make war and to produce righteousness on planet Earth and rule for 1,000 years. to rule for 1,000 years. There won't be no more protests during that 1,000 years. There won't be no burning buildings in that 1,000 years. There will be at the end of the 1,000 years where he finds out, finally he melts it all with a fervent heat, makes a new heaven, new earth. You say, I've never experienced anything like that. Well, if you're saved, you have. You might not recognize it. March 5th, 1978, as I sat in Eastside Baptist Church, six pew on the left-hand side, and the Holy Ghost opened up the windows of heaven and came down to my heart and drew me to the Savior. Drew me to the Savior. And that day I got a glimpse of heaven and hell. And I had to make a choice of heaven or hell. And that day the windows of heaven opened and he called me by my name. Every time that preacher would say something, he'd say, Ron. I heard him say Ron every time. The windows of heaven was open. He was convicting me and drawing me by his Holy Ghost, who he sent down here from heaven. He did the same thing to you. You remember that? God opened heaven to get in touch with you. And to draw you and to sanctify you apart, set you apart from the rest of this lost and damnable world so you can be saved.
Praise God.
Now he's going to doom and damn the rest of them, but he's going to save you. And he did that that day when he opened up the windows of heaven. And he spoke to you. On my birthday, March the 5th, 1978, my new birthday. When I was born, April 16, 1954, he opened my mother's womb and I was birthed. When I was born again, he opened the windows of heaven and I was rebirthed. And I don't see how you can be saved not understand that.
Amen.
I don't see how you can be saved not get excited about hearing from heaven. When heaven opens, things change.
That's right.
Now, he brings judgment. He's done that. He's brought judgment on this country. I believe 9/11 was judgment on this country. A lot of preachers got crucified over saying that, but it's the truth. More people's in church for the next 2 or 3 months than there were before. I believe World War I, World War II were judgments that came down from heaven. Amen. I believe sometimes catastrophes, earthquakes, storms, plagues are from heaven.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
So judgment comes from heaven.
Yes.
Blessings come from heaven.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost comes down from heaven.
Yes.
Our Lord the Conqueror is coming from heaven.
Amen.
But you're never going to get a glimpse into heaven until you allow him to come down from heaven and save your immortal soul.
Amen.
And that window is open every day. Every day the door to heaven is open. Jesus said he's the door. He's the way. He's the veil. He's the gate. Amen. And it's open right now. And it comes down from heaven open every day. Every Sunday I give the invitation. The door's open. But you know what? You better watch out. One day the door's going to close. And then where are they going to be? I'm going to ask you something. When was the last time you heard from heaven? Amen. That's good preaching right now. The boy's quick. That's faith. That's faith, baby. That's faith, baby. When's the last time God opened, when's the last time God opened up the windows of heaven and poured you out a blessing you couldn't hardly contain? When's the last time God opened heaven, the Holy Ghost of God came down on you and in you and around you? These are things we need to be looking for. Now you know what they're going to do tonight? Minneapolis or wherever all this stuff's going. You know what they're going to do, Devin? I'm proud of you, by the way. You've worked all night. You're still awake.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Listen, you know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be burning stuff up,
yeah.
Destroying stuff. Okay, don't tell me if I'm wrong, son. I'm bragging on you. Aren't you? Amen. You need to move away from sitting with that girl, okay?
The whole family.
Amen. Amen. Windows of heaven open. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. But tonight it's going to be hell on earth like it's been every night. And the gates of hell are going to open. And the devil's going to have his way tonight. But I got news for you. If my people, which are called by my name, if we just humble ourselves and admit that we need God to open heaven again and pour out something on this wicked and vile world, especially the nation that we live in, if we'll do that, God will hear. He said that. If we'll turn from our sins and humble ourselves, He'll hear from heaven. And listen to this. One day, Brother Ron, our life's going to be over. And we will enter the doors of heaven. Be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. You see, we Bible believers are not closed-minded. We're open-minded. Open windows and open doors. Amen? If you'll just open your heart and receive Him. Let's stand. Father, thank You.